Hello and welcome to Heavenly Minded. This podcast explores what it means to be in the world, but not of it. What does that actually mean? And how does that play out in our everyday life? Well, those are some of the questions that we'll be seeking to answer today. I'm Chloe Wilson. I'm a presenter on UCB2. And I want to give you a quick heads up because this episode covers eating disorders. And we're going to be talking about our relationship with food. Some of the content may be difficult to listen to. So if at any point you're listening and you're going, I can't really engage with this, I'm finding it hard to kind of take in, then feel free to skip through to another section. You have my absolute blessing to do that because this is a subject that I really struggle with, the subject of food. I've been on so many different weight loss journeys, uncomfortable with my body image, and I have a bit of a dodgy relationship when it comes to food. Sometimes I'm all right, other times I'm not. And as a Christian, I know that food is a gift from God, but I really struggle knowing how to use it in a way that glorifies Him. It was a difficult conversation to have, but I'm so glad that I did, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you now. I'm joined by Cherry Dakin, who is part of Taste Life UK. She shared some real insight into what it means to have a healthy relationship with food because she herself struggled with an eating disorder. I hope that this episode encourages you and maybe challenges you in the way that you think about food and your relationship with it. Well, Cherry, welcome to Heavenly Minded. It's so great to have you with us.
It's fantastic to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we're really excited to hear about the work of Taste Life UK and the support that you offer to people who struggle with food and who struggle with eating. That's what this whole episode is all about. But I know that you have got a very personal and a very intimate connection in terms of your relationship with food because it wasn't always plain sailing for you, was it?
No, not at all. So in my teens, I really started to struggle from about the age of about 15. I think like most teens around that age, we do become preoccupied with body shape. I personally seem to struggle with my weight. You know, I found my relationship with food started to get a bit kind of muddled. And I think after a few years of struggling, I ended up, like many teenagers, you think, right, that's it. I'm going to take this into my own hands and take control. And of course, it just didn't work. To cut a long story short, I ended up struggling with bulimia for most of my teens and early 20s. And it was a really baffling time because it wasn't really talked about at that time. So I had no idea why I was doing this. I just knew it made me sort of feel better, but actually it made me feel worse in the long term. And then when I came to faith in my mid-20s, I'd relapsed really badly. And I just had this moment of pure anger with myself and with God, actually. I got really angry with God because I just didn't understand why this was happening. Yeah, I remember really clearly, I was so angry. I had to take my anger out on something. So I remember getting my pillow and just really pummeling it with my fists and just banging it around the place and sort of hitting the wall with it. Because I was like, I don't want this anymore. Take it away from me, God. I've had enough. And, you know, it was quite an emotional and very distressing time, actually. But what was really amazing, and it is miraculous, is about a week later, I realized I hadn't had an urge to binge at all. Not even once, hadn't even crossed my mind. And I thought, I remember thinking, this is odd. That's a bit strange. And then I realized another week later, I was like, I still haven't had the urge. It's very odd. So literally, I was cured and healed of the physical side of bulimia. But then God did take me on the journey of what I call self-discovery, which was really incredible. So the physical healing took place, and that was followed by an internal and emotional healing, I would say, which took a few years. And I'm also conscious that, you know, people do pray for healing and it doesn't always happen and we don't know why that is. But I know I'm just eternally grateful to God for healing me of my bulimia.
Yeah, no, praise God, because that is incredible. And the fact that it just really struck me because I was expecting you to say that maybe someone prayed over you, or maybe you went to church and, you know, there was a particular word for you. But the fact that it almost happened kind of subtly and it went under the radar and yet you were completely healed, that is incredible. But as you say, that's not the case for everybody. God can and he does heal instantaneously in miraculous ways. We firmly believe that. But he can also use means, can't he? He provides us with support and he puts people in place. And, you know, we were saying before this, Cherry, that if God healed everybody of their difficult relationships they have with food, if he did that instantaneously, there wouldn't be a need for Taste Life UK. But there is a need for Taste Life UK, and you guys are doing an incredible work. So just tell us a little bit about your journey moving into Taste Life UK and the support that you offer to people who are struggling with their relationship with food.
Yeah, absolutely. So I became a Taste Life leader in 2018. I came across Taste Life at New Wine, and when I saw the stand and what they were doing, and I thought, this is what I want to do. Because ever since being healed, I've had this heart to help others who are struggling. And when I came across Taste Life, I said, that's it. I want to be involved. So I trained as a leader, and then I ran a course. And these courses are 8 weeks long, and they are designed for people who are struggling in their relationship with food. It's a journey, and this journey provides people who come on the course with a toolkit to help themselves understand the why and the what to do in order to help them break free from their particular, whether it's an eating disorder or disordered eating. There is a huge need at the moment for people to have this course in order to help them break free. We also have now a resource, it's called Youth Track, and that's a preventative resource because we felt it was really important that we do something to try to stop young people in particular going down the route of using food as an emotional crutch or as a way to deal with life. So Youth Track is designed to try and help young people understand more about what eating disorders are about and why they happen and what to do if they or someone they know is struggling.
I think it's so important, as you say, that you have this Youth Track program, if you like, that nips it in the bud or seeks to, you know, teach children and our youth about the relationship with food and how it doesn't have to be difficult. Because I was thinking the other day, social media plays a huge part in how we view food. Everything, not just social media, television, the adverts that we see, you know, this is something that is very, very close to my heart, the whole idea of how we can be healthy and look after ourselves and have a healthy relationship with food. Because I have been through periods of my life where I haven't had an eating disorder, but I remember looking on the Taste Life UK website and going, there were three different categories. There was someone who had a healthy relationship with food, someone who had disordered eating, and someone who had an eating disorder. And I fall into the category of having disordered eating because sometimes I'm all right, but other times, you know, I'll just be so consumed with food. I may count calories. I joined a weight loss program just after I got married because I'd gained weight and I thought, I've got to lose this. And it completely changed my relationship with food. But social media is just so in your face. And even though I'm in a much better place than what I was, the amount of times I'm scrolling and then there'll be an advertisement for a weight loss program, or there'll be someone promoting a weight loss pill or something. And it almost feels like social media is going, you've got to be like this. You've got to lose weight. You've got to feel like this about food. But then at the same time, there's this rising, increasing anti-diet culture. And that can actually be quite intense as well. I'm keen to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, yes. It is interesting learning a bit more about, you know, what anti-diet culture is. There are some people who are, you're right, are quite extreme about it. And then there are others who are a bit more, let's say, moderate in their views. Where I feel the balance is actually sort of looking at what they're saying about diet culture and trying to work out, you have to take a step back as suppose, and have a look at what is it they're trying to say and what sort of messages are they sending and what should we believe in what we're reading and how trustworthy is the source of this information. But essentially, diet culture is so pervasive in our lives. As you say, it's everywhere. The other thing with diet culture is that it's so ingrained that for a lot of us, we don't even realize that we are using vocabulary or words that actually has become so normalized in our culture. So for example, if we're talking about a dessert, say you've gone out for a meal with some friends and you're looking at the desserts and you're thinking, oh, I really would like to have that dessert. But then we start talking about it, say, well, it'd be really naughty, wouldn't it? I'll have to burn it off later. Or, you know, those words, that language has come from a culture that's around us and that's become normalized. But that's now where the anti-diet culture has come and is saying we shouldn't be talking about food like this. And to a degree, I agree, because what we're doing is making food the enemy. And food isn't the enemy. It's a gift from God. And we know that he's given us food. And, you know, Genesis, he talks about, you know, I've given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree. I've given them to you for food. And I think we have to be so careful about the language around food. It isn't naughty. We're not bad for having a dessert. And I think for me, the word that is so key in all of this is balance. Whether we are pro-anti-diet or pro-diet culture, I think for me, I try not to think about it like that. To me, it's balance. And balance is important in every aspect of our lives and including in food.
I remember having a conversation with family members and it comes the phrase, everything in moderation. But I'll be honest, I struggle with that because everything in moderation to me, and this is just probably the place that I'm at, makes me think, well, okay, well, I'll have a piece of fruit, but then I'm going to eat a whole load of chocolate because everything in moderation, right? And I get that balance confused. And you mentioned, you know, in Genesis that food is a gift. And I love that because everything that God has given us as a gift is to be enjoyed. But I guess with everything, we don't want to kind of take it for granted or over enjoy it, if that's a phrase to use. And it reminds me of what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, particularly verses 19 and 20, where Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And I guess that applies to what we eat, because I mean, I don't know if the phrase everything in moderation is helpful in this context, because I guess it's different for everybody. But how do you think we can be honoring God with our bodies and, you know, trying to look after ourselves with food? Because, you know, there are some amazing foods out there, aren't there? But there's also, if you were to eat everything that was completely based around sugar, then, well, I guess I'm interpreting that Bible verse and going, well, maybe that's not me honouring God with my body because that wouldn't be healthy. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. To me, you know, I look at what God said in Genesis, seed bearing and fruit bearing. You know, in a way, he's saying we're designed to eat fruit and vegetables. But yes, we do also have these other really delicious foods, which are, you know, piled with sugar and fat. So we know enough about our bodies and food and what we eat. So we know that by having a diet very, very high in sugars and fats is not honoring our bodies, because we know the impact that that has on our bodies. I just feel that, because again, using scripture, Psalm 139, we're told we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I find that whole psalm just so incredible when you realize how he knit us together in our mother's womb. I mean, that is just amazing that we are his creation and that he loves us and he cherishes us. And to not honor our bodies as God's creation by having an unbalanced diet is not honoring the fact that God made us as we are and that we are incredible creations. And I always think of how amazing our bodies are. And I think just to sort of to honor God in that way through what we eat and what we do, you know, because he made us.
How does that look practically then? Because, I mean, you know, this is, I guess it's quite a hard question to ask, because this could be, and it will be different for everybody, won't it? Because we're all made differently. And I love that you've referenced Psalm 139, because that's one of my all-time favorite psalms. And that's, I mean, already that's quite helpful to me, because I've always struggled knowing that I've always been taller and bigger built than other people. And I struggled with that from a very young age. And, you know, people would attack my hair colour. And I remember thinking, well, maybe I've just been made this way and people are never going to like me because this is the way that I am. So I remember, you know, as you referenced, Cherry, in your own story, I remember thinking, well, I've got to lose weight in order to fit in. I've got to be slimmer. I've got to have a different hairstyle. But, you know, that's not what the Bible says, is it? The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But I guess we have got to look after ourselves in that way. But yeah, as I said, practically, what does that look like? Because food is a gift, but how can we be using food in a way that glorifies God in a practical way?
For me, it's about appreciation and awareness. There are some foods out there that are just so simple and yet so delicious. And we kind of forget how delicious they are. So it reminds me of a couple of things, really. One, I was, must have been a teenager, and I was staying with my aunt, and she grew her own vegetables. And she pulled a carrot and just washed it, didn't peel it, just washed it. And she said, oh, there you are. And I ate this carrot, and it was amazing. I mean, I can't tell you how delicious this carrot was. It was sweet. It was just so incredible. And I think, you know, just the simplicity of a carrot. And the other thing is, when I was in hospital, I had to fast before having a procedure. And then when I was finally able to eat something, I was so hungry. My goodness me. And I was given a tray of food, and I ate the pear that was in a bowl. And oh, it was amazing. It was just a half a tinned pear, but it tasted incredible. And I think that's kind of what we forget, is that the food that we've been given is really delicious. And by being aware of that and appreciating that is a step towards appreciating this incredible gift that we've been given. So being aware of the flavors and the textures of what we eat. And for me, you know, I tried to tell my son, who loves raspberries. I mean, he literally would hoover up a punnet of raspberries before you could say jackknife. My son told him, just slow down and enjoy the flavor, because he practically just inhales them. And I think for me, so appreciation and awareness of the flavors and the textures of the food that we are eating is important.
I really like that, like slowing down. I think this was something that I picked up on social media, but then we were able to apply practically in our home. And it was actually during Lent that we did this, because we didn't give anything up, because I was thinking, right, I'm going to give up chocolate. But actually, subconsciously, my brain was going, well, that means you're going to lose weight. So yeah, you've got to give up chocolate. And I had to sit there and go, actually, if I do that, that could send me down a binging route. And actually, that was quite a hard decision to come to, because I remember thinking, well, because I'm not giving up anything food related for Lent, that's got to make me a bad person. But I remember someone saying to me, no, sometimes with Lent, it's about either removing something and replacing it with God, or bringing something in to help you with your relationship with God. So what me and my husband saw on social media was someone saying, don't sit and look at your phone when you're eating. Don't do that. Sit at the table, put your phone to one side and focus on what you're eating. So what we'd got into the habit of doing was sitting down in front of the television and just, after a long day, crashing on the sofa, having our dinner, barely talking to each other and eating our food in front of the TV. And I wasn't really focusing on what I was eating. But actually what we did during that Lent period was we said, we're not going to eat in front of the television during this period. And we've kept that up, because there was something incredible about sitting down at our dining room table, which was lovely, and it made us appreciate the table a lot more and the chairs, which was great. And we had conversations with each other a lot more. We talked more. We were then able to pray with each other and do a devotional straight after dinner rather than getting caught up in a film or whatever. But actually, without even realizing it, I was paying more attention to what I was eating. I was being more intentional, and just there was that appreciation and that enjoyment, which was, it was a great feeling.
Yeah, it's a really good thing to stop and sit at the table to eat. I mean, we all have our TV dinners, and it's much easier to enjoy the food there. And as you say, to talk and be much more appreciative of the food that we are eating. I think distraction is really difficult these days with our phones. You know, as you say, we're sort of constantly on our phones, or, you know, pings, and we say, oh, I must deal with that. You know, so you look at your phone, who is it? I must respond. But actually, they can wait. I think we've all done the thing where you're sitting and watching TV, or as you say, or looking at the computer or looking at your phone, and you have a cup of tea and a biscuit, and you think, oh, where's my biscuit gone? And you think, oh, I must have eaten it. And you don't realize you've even eaten it. And I find that really, it catches me quite a few times. I think, right, okay, I have to just stop, have my tea and my biscuit, and then go back to my computer or whatever it is I'm doing. Because when we're distracted, we just don't even notice what we're doing. So I think by being intentional with the time that we are putting around our meal times or when we're eating something, it's important to be much more, as you say, intentional during those times.
I actually recently came across a verse which really helped me kind of understand the joy that can come with food, because I think I've always had such a negative experience with it, thinking, well, I've got to eat this and got to eat that to be healthy, and these things are good and that's going to help me to lose weight, whereas if I eat this, oh, that's a treat, it's bad and that's going to make me gain weight. But actually, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. And it's just a small verse, but I love that. Go and eat your food with gladness. And I think that is something that in this day and age, we don't do enough. You know, we just talked about being intentional and slowing down and focusing and enjoying what we're eating. But I think there is so much fear surrounding food, isn't there, instead of that gladness?
Yeah, absolutely. For many people, their view of food is that it is the enemy, and it really isn't. I mean, food is something that we just use every day, and we have to use it every day to stay alive, but also we have to enjoy it, and it's there for our enjoyment. And I think that's, we've lost sight of that. So yeah, I think it's a brilliant verse to be told. I mean, it says go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, and we need to recapture that.
Then I guess at the same time enjoying it, but then not to the point where it becomes an idol and kind of take over and that's all we're thinking about, because there can be that unhealthy relationship with food where maybe we have that fear, but at the same time then idolizing it. Again, it goes back to that word balance.
Yeah, by just going back to a simple approach to enjoying food, by having a pattern which we know is a healthy pattern of breakfast, lunch and dinner, and that includes having snacks, that is considered a normal pattern of eating. Part of that is balance. But if the bigger picture is balanced and we're having breakfast, lunch and dinner, our bodies are then able to function in a much more natural way as they were designed to, because that's how God designed our bodies to work. He knows. He is the great designer, and that's how he designed us to be.
Yeah, no, that's incredibly helpful. I mean, there is so much that I could talk to you about in terms of our relationship with food. But you know, as I always say on this podcast, it's all about being heavenly minded, being in the world and not of it. So just to kind of round off this conversation with you, Cherry, and thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing your personal experience throughout this. How can we stay heavenly minded with our relationship with food?
I think that it is going back to this appreciation of what God's done for us and how he's created us, and remembering that what we're eating is his creation as well, and it's his gift. And I think that by being aware and being appreciative of those two things is going to help us to regain a balanced approach to what we eat and to our bodies as well. And, you know, these things take time. If that balance is not currently what you would like it to be, and I think that's where having resources and guidance to help redress this balance is going to be helpful. So whether it's something like the Taste Life community course or whether it's through another means, that will help us to regain that balance. I think also dwelling on some of these verses that we've talked about and just really kind of meditating on them for a bit is going to be very helpful to seeing just how much God loves us, and that's why he created us as we are. And that will just help us become more accepting as well of who we are and whose we are.
Hearing you say that reminded me of what Jesus said in Matthew 4 verse 4, and I can't believe I've got the whole way through this conversation without mentioning it, where he says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I feel like that just kind of sums up what you said there, dwelling on the word of God and relying on what God has to say rather than idolizing the food, but also appreciating what you said. Cherry, thank you so much for joining us on Heavenly Minded today. Thank you so much for the work that you do at Taste Life UK and for, you know, doing all the work that you do to help people who are struggling with this. And, you know, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, a huge thank you to Cherry Dakin for joining us on Heavenly Minded. And of course, a massive thank you to you for listening to the conversation today. If you want to find out more information about the work of Taste Life, then head online to their website, which is tastelifeuk.org. Well, this is actually the final conversation in Heavenly Minded Series 2. Thank you so much for being a part of this journey. I really hope that the conversations have blessed you and encouraged you and reminded you to be in the world and not of it, and that you've gained some practical tips as well. You can listen to Series 1 and the entirety of Series 2 on the UCB Player app, where you can also find lots of different podcasts that UCB have been producing. But thank you so much for your support, and I'm sure I'll speak to you very soon.